This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to manage tension when you're both a participant and a mediator. The dual role challenge that breaks most people and how to master it. In short, holding both roles in a tense room is one of the hardest things you will ever do in professional life. Most people fail not because they lack skill, but because they try to hide the dual role rather than name it. Declare your stake openly before the conversation begins. Separate your personal position from your process responsibility. Use structured steps to keep the room moving even when your own views are in play. Definition: managed tension mediator describes the practice of guiding a conflict toward resolution while simultaneously holding a personal stake in its outcome. It is a dual role of participant and process keeper, requiring deliberate separation of your own interests from your responsibility to keep the conversation fair and productive. There's a moment I remember clearly. A long table, 5 colleagues, and a disagreement that had been building for weeks. I was asked to run the meeting because I had the most experience with the process. The problem was that I also had the strongest opinion about the outcome. I tried to hide that. I thought if I stayed quiet about my view, no one would notice. They noticed within 10 minutes. 2 people stopped speaking directly to me. 1 left early. The meeting produced nothing. That failure taught me something I have never forgotten. When you try to manage tension from both inside and outside a conflict at the same time, the role you do not name becomes the one that destroys your credibility. The challenge is real. The dual role is genuinely treacherous, and most advice ignores the specific difficulty of it. This article gives you a working process for navigating it without losing the room or yourself. Why the dual role breaks down so quickly. When you step into tense conversation as both a participant and a mediator, you carry 2 sets of interests at once. One part of you wants a specific outcome. Another part of you is responsible for making the process fair enough that everyone trusts it. Those 2 things pull in opposite directions. The moment the group senses you're tilting toward your own position, the mediation is finished. They stop hearing a guide and start seeing an advocate. You lose the authority the role requires, and the tension does not ease, it redirects toward you. Here is the truth of it. You cannot make the tension disappear by pretending the dual role does not exist. What you can do is make it visible, structured, and honest enough that people trust the process anyway. That is what the steps below are built to do. If you also need to handle conflict that erupts during a meeting you did not expect to be discharged, the guidance in how to handle conflict during meetings runs alongside this process well. Before you begin, 2 things that must be in place. No process will hold if these 2 foundations are missing. First, you need enough relational trust with the group that at least most people believe you want a fair outcome, not just your preferred outcome. If that trust does not exist, hand the role to someone else. There's no shame in recognizing when you are the wrong person for the room. Second, you need clarity about what your participant role actually is. Do you have a vote? A veto? A recommendation that goes upward? Know your formal authority before the conversation starts. Ambiguity about power is one of the fastest ways tension becomes chaos. A 6-step process for managing tension in both roles at once. Step 1. Name your dual role before anyone else does. Open by declaring both positions plainly. Do not dress it up. Say something like, I want to be upfront with you. I have a view on this matter, and I will share it at the right point. My job right now is to make sure everyone gets a fair hearing first. If at any point you think I'm tilting toward my own position, tell me. This does 3 things. It removes the awkwardness of the elephant in the room. It signals courage and self-awareness. And it gives the group permission to hold you accountable, which paradoxically makes them trust you more. Step 2. Set the ground rules and get agreement on them. Before any substantive discussion begins, agree on how the conversation will run. Keep it short and specific. State speaks when, how long each person has, and what happens if someone interrupts. Confirm that every position will be heard before any decision is made. Ask the group to acknowledge the rules out loud. This matters because agreed rules are not yours, they belong to the group, and that shared ownership holds the process steady when things get heated. A practical script. Before we start, I want us to agree on 3 things. We each get uninterrupted time to speak. No decisions are made until every position is on the table, and we focus on the issue rather than each other. Can we all commit to that? This approach is closely tied to the broader practice of ensuring every voice is heard. The article, How to Ensure Every Participant Gets Heard, gives you additional tools for making that commitment real in practice. Step 3. Listen with your mediator hat on first. This is where most participant mediators fail. They listen just long enough to confirm their own position, then move to influence. Instead, treat the early part of the conversation as a gathering exercise. Your only job is to understand each person's position as fully as they understand it themselves. Ask clarifying questions. Reflect back what you hear. Do not evaluate. Do not counter. Do not nod in a way that signals agreement with one side over another. Try this after each person finishes. Say, "Let me make sure I have understood you correctly." Then restate what they said in their own terms. Not a paraphrase that subtly shifts their meaning. Their meaning, their words, their concern. Step 4. Surface the tension explicitly before it surfaces itself. Left unnamed, tension finds its own way out, usually through interruptions, side conversations, or loaded silences. Your job is to name what is happening before it takes control. When you feel the temperature rising, stop the discussion and describe what you observe, without assigning blame. Say something like, "I notice we have reached a point where the conversation is feeling pressured. Let us slow down. What is the core concern that is not yet fully on the table?" This is the de-escalation move that most people resist because it feels like interrupting momentum. In fact, it redirects momentum from collision toward clarity. You will find more specific approaches to this in how to de-escalate argument during meetings. Step 5. Declare your own position transparently and briefly. Once every other view is genuinely on the table, it is time to share yours. This is the participant moment. Do it clearly and do it short. State your position, state why you hold it, and explicitly name that you understand others see it differently. Do not use your moderator standing to give yourself extra airtime. If you have had 2 minutes to state a position, take 2 minutes, no more. A useful script. "Here is where I stand, and I want to be clear that this is my participant view, not the conclusion of this process. I think we should go with option B because of reasons X and Y. I also know that Siobhan and Marcus have strong reasons for option A, and those reasons are legitimate." Acknowledging opposing views directly, by name, is how you hold both roles without collapsing into one. The skill of delivering negative feedback positively is related to you naming hard truths without weaponizing them. Step 6. Return to the process and let the group decide. After your view is on the table, return explicitly to your mediator role. Say so out loud. "I have shared my position. Now I want to step back and let us work through this together." Then do it. Do not keep finding ways to steer toward your preferred outcome. If the group reaches a conclusion that goes against your view, your job is to acknowledge that clearly and commit to it. This is the hardest moment in the dual role, and it is also the most important. Integrity here builds the kind of trust that survives the disagreement. When the conflict is between two specific colleagues, the process above is designed for group tension. When the core conflict involves two people who are barely willing to be in the same room, the dynamic shifts. You are no longer managing a group's discomfort. You are holding a direct standoff. In this situation, speak to each person separately before the group session if at all possible. Understand their core concern, their non-negotiable, and what a workable resolution would look like to them. Come into the session with that knowledge. It does not mean you tip your hand, it means you know where the real sticking points are and can address them without waiting for them to explode. The deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate pairs directly with this step. It gives you a structured approach for that bilateral standoff, and it complements the broader group process described here. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong in this role. 3 mistakes appear consistently when someone attempts to manage tension in both capacities. The mistake: staying silent about your own view to appear neutral. Why it happens: people fear that naming their position will undermine their credibility as a guide. What to do instead? Declare your stake at the start and your position at step 5. Silence does not create neutrality, it creates suspicion. The mistake: using the mediator role to coach others toward your preferred conclusion. Why it happens: the role gives you control of the process, and it is tempting to use process control as influence. What to do instead? Commit to equal airtime and equal validation of every position, including ones you disagree with. The DEAL method for resolving conflicts that fracture team cohesion gives you a principled framework for staying structurally fair. The mistake: letting your emotional reaction show before the process is complete. Why it happens: when your own interests are at stake, emotional regulation is genuinely hard. What to do instead? Prepare before the session. Know your triggers, your non-negotiables, and the moment you are most likely to break from the process. The STRONG method for preparing before high-stakes conversations is specifically designed for this kind of preparation. A pre-session checklist for the DUAL role. Use this before any meeting where you will hold both responsibilities. Number 1. Have I identified my personal stake clearly and honestly? Number 2. Have I decided at which point in the session I will share my position? Number 3. Do I know the ground rules I will propose, and am I prepared to hold them under pressure? Number 4. Have I listed the key concerns of each other party as best I understand them? Number 5. Do I know who's most likely to challenge my credibility in this role, and how I will respond? Number 6. Have I prepared a specific phrase to use when I feel the session pulling me off the process? Number 7. Am I genuinely willing to accept an outcome that goes against my own preference? If the answer to question 7 is no, do not take this role. Find someone with less at stake to run the session and participate as a clear advocate for your position instead. That is the more honest choice, and honesty is worth more than the appearance of impartiality. When the ground holds. The DUAL role, done well, builds a particular kind of trust that takes years to develop any other way. When people see you manage tension fairly even while your own interests are in the room, they remember it. They come back to you when things are hard. They know you can hold complexity without breaking. After decades of getting this wrong before I learned to get it right, I can tell you that the whole thing rests on one thing: saying what you're doing and doing what you say. Name the DUAL role. Follow the process. Share your view when the time comes. Then step back and let the room work. That discipline is how you manage tension in the most difficult conditions any professional ever faces, when you're both inside the fire and responsible for keeping it from spreading. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to manage tension as a mediator? To manage tension as a mediator means keeping a conflict from escalating while also helping each side feel heard and respected. When you're also a participant, it means doing this without appearing to favour your own position. It requires deliberate role switching and strong emotional regulation. How do you manage tension when you're both a participant and a mediator? You manage tension in this DUAL role by separating your personal stake from your process responsibility, declaring your position transparently, setting clear ground rules, and using active listening to give every voice equal weight. The key is naming your DUAL role openly at the start rather than trying to hide it. Can a participant ever be an effective mediator in workplace conflict? Yes, but only under specific conditions. The participant mediator must have genuine credibility with all parties, be willing to name their own bias openly, and commit to a fair process even when the outcome goes against their preference. Without that transparency, the role collapses into advocacy. What are the biggest mistakes when mediating tension you're part of? The most common mistakes are failing to declare your DUAL role, speaking too early in your participant voice, letting your emotional reaction show before the process is complete, and confusing silence with agreement. Each mistake erodes the trust the mediation process depends on to function. How do you stay neutral when you have a stake in the outcome? True neutrality is not the goal when you are a participant. What you owe the group is process fairness, not personal detachment. Acknowledge your stake directly, commit to equal airtime for every position including ones that oppose yours, and let the group's reasoning shape the outcome rather than your own preference. When should you hand the mediator role to someone else? Hand the role to someone else when your stake in the outcome is so significant a fair process is structurally impossible, when another party refuses to engage because of your involvement, or when your emotional state makes it genuinely difficult to listen without defending. Recognizing this limit is a sign of strength, not weakness. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.